Okay, we're starting here in the middle of Kufiyut Chedem at Bet by Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi. So Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav. We're going to have two statements here in Rav's name, which Rabbi Yochanan argues on, which is going to help us understand a little more about Yad. First statement is, Yesh Yad the Tuma, Vein Yad the Hechsher. That this idea that there's a functional extension of an item, Rav says that only applies to the conveyance and the receiving of Tuma, but not when it comes to Hechsher. Not when it comes to a liquid coming on the item in order to make it ready to accept Tuma, a Yad will not have any bearing on the item. Yochanan says it doesn't make a difference, whether it's Tuma, whether it's Hechsher, either both of them have this din of Yad. What are they arguing about? It's a logical argument, or it's a derivative of where they learn it out of the psukim. Ibay de makra, mar saver mikra nidresh lifanav, velo lifnei panav. The pasuk which teaches us about yad, which we spent in yesterday's daf discussing how we get to yad from the psukim. So before that pasuk is written the din of tuma. Before that is the din of hechsher lekabel tuma. So the argument here is this reference to yad, does it only apply to the pasuk beforehand, which is referencing Tuma, or does it apply even to beforehand, which includes the Hechsher LeKabel Tuma? Umar Savar Nikra Nidresh Lefanav V'Lifnei Lefanav. That's Rabbi Yochanan, who thinks that the application of Yad here is not only to Tuma, but it is even to Hechsher LeKabel Tuma. Iba Yitem Asvoro, that is a logical argument. Mar Savar Hechsher Tchilat Tumahi. So one of them, meaning Rabbi Yochanan, holds that Hechsher is the beginning of the process of Tuma. So it's subsumed under the category of Tuma. If it's subsumed under the category of Tuma, Yad will be applicable. Marsav Hechsher lav tchilat Tumahi. On the other hand, Rav holds that it's not. There are two separate issues. One is Hechsher, one is Tuma. Since it's not the beginning of the process of Tuma, it does not have the din of Yad. Tanya Kavotei de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a braita that supports the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Kashem sheish Yad the Tuma, kach yesh Yad Hechsher. So it's explicit that Yad works. This extension, which is a functional extension of the item, works both in the area of Tuma as well as in Hechsher. So just like Tuma is not applicable until something is picked or removed, once it's mechuber the karka, it's not mekabel Tuma. So too, it does not have Hechsher lekabel Tuma till it's picked. And the Gemara in other places says that it's obvious that it has to be that way, because otherwise you would never have any foods that weren't mukhshar lekabel tuma. It rained on them. It was watered. They need the water. So you always will have hechsher lekabel tuma. So the only way the Torah could say, if it's mukhshar lekabel tuma, what do you mean if? It means that it has to be only once it's nitlash, only once it's been picked and removed from the ground, then it can have hechsher lekabel tuma. Prior to that point, it's not relevant to have hechsher lekabel tuma. I mean, two things. One is Rav Tano Polik, so you could have Rav arguing on the Braita. Second thing is, it's possible. By a Braita, we know that the Moraim are not aware of all Braitot, so Rav may not have been aware of the Braita. Amrav. Now, this is the second machloket. Ein yad pachot mi kezayit. Rav says that a yad cannot be functional if there's less than a kezayit. Ve'ein shomer pachot mi kepul. And there is no such thing as a shomer less than a pool the size of a bean. So we learned in yesterday's daf and on Erev Shabbos' daf that the differences between a yad and a shomer, yad being the functional handle, the way to carry this item, the shomer being the protective casement of the item. And over here, Rav defines for us that we only talk about a shomer when we're talking about an item that is the size of a bean or greater. And we only talk about yad if we're talking about an item that is a kezayit or greater. Yochanan Amar, yesh yad pachod mi kezayit. First of all, Yochanan says you can have a yad even for less than a kezayit. Shomer lepachod mi kepul. And when it comes to a shomer, when it comes to an encasement, a protective case, then even less than a pool, a shomer is relevant. It sounds like it, yes. In the shomer, it sounds like a mashu. The yad, Rashi points this out, he'll reiterate it later in the sugya, that if Rabbi Yochanan really thought like you were saying, he should have put them together in a single statement. The fact that he separates them shows you that by the shomer he thinks it's a koshu, and that means by the yad he thinks it has to be a pole, the size of a bean. Because otherwise, if he thought a koshu for both of them, he should have yad and shomer together. The fact that he doesn't means they must have a different minimum standard. So meitav. So now we have a problem. We have a Tosefta in our load, which says, bet atzamot, v'alehem bet chatzei zeitim. I have two bones. Each of the bones contains a chatzei kezayit basar at the end of it. V'chnis roshehem bet the bayit. So both of these two bones are now inside the house. The meat, the basar, remains on the outside. You have a basar hamet. What are we talking about here? Basar hamet can convey tuma b'maga, b'masa, and b'ohel. Whether you come into contact with it, you carry it, or if it's under the same roof. A bone, an etzem, only has a din of tumat maga and tumat masa. Tumat ohel doesn't apply to the bone. So the fact that the bones are now inside the house, not relevant in terms of tumat ohel. What will be relevant is if these bones then bring the basar into the house. And that's what you see here from the Tana Akama. V'abayit ma'il aleihem. Now you have a house that is under a single roof, covering these two handles, these bones that are in there. Abayit tamei. We assume that because the handles, the yad is on the inside, it drags the basar along with it. Now, what was the case here? The case here was a case where I have a handle and a chatzik kazayit basar. A handle and a chatzik kazayit basar, the handle being the bone. Rav said that the minimum standard for a yad is a kazayit. That means for Rav, there should be no tumah over here. I have a chatzik kazayit, a chatzik kazayit, they should not be mitzarev, because the yad, the handle, should be irrelevant. Yet, the Tana Kama here says, the two handles are mitzarev, and you have now a single kazayit basar under a roof, and that's a tumat ola. So that's a problem for Rav. And we have the second opinion of the Tanaim, which is Yehuda ben Nekusa, Omer Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, Heich shnei atzamot mitzarefim lekazayit. How is it possible that two atzamot can be mitzarif lekazayit, which sounds like the position of Rav, meaning that you can't have a yad for less than a kazayit basar? Now the Gemara asks an interesting question here, and it's clear that the Gemara, in asking the question, knows that these questions are not real questions. They're just trying to define the mission. That's how Tosfot says it. He says, "Lav kushya gemura." It's not real questions. They're trying to explain it because the Gemara could have asked the same questions on Rabbi Yochanan. The fact is they ask him on Rav, and then the Gemara is going to explain Rav and Rabbi Yochanan here. So all the Gemara is trying to do is lay out the framework from which we're going to explain this Tosefta, which is Rav. Hi, b'mai mukimala. This Tosefta, how does Rav explain this? If he says that the bone we're talking about here is a yad, meaning that the basar that we're talking about is a piece of flesh on the outside of the bone, then kashereisha. Then the Tana Kama can't be like Rav, because he's saying that the yad here is mitzareif, the two chatzik zeitim, to create a tumat oel. So he couldn't hold like the reisha. Ibis shomer, every time I had a bone and the marrow inside, which would make the bone a shomer, not a yad, then kasha seifa. Then why does Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa say that it's not mitzareif? Even Rav agrees that if it's less than a kezayit, it's still a good shomer, as long as it's more than a pull. As long as it's more than a bean size. So here we're talking about a chatzik kazayit. Chatzik kazayit is larger than a pull, than a bean size. So Rav can't fit into the Tana Kama if you explain the case as being a yad, and he can't fit into Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa if you explain the case as being shomer. What's the obvious answer? That it'll be the opposite. So ibayitema b'shomer, ibayitema b'yad. Ibayitema b'yad, that the Brayta is talking about a case of yad, where the bone has meat on the end of it, flesh on the end of it. The bones are under the roof. The flesh is on the outside. And he holds like Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa that they're not mitzareif. And that's Rav the Shita Tal. When you have a chatzik kazayit, it doesn't work. There's no yad here. That we're talking about a bone with marrow in it. And the bone is functioning as a shomer and not as a yad. According to Rav, they should be mitzareif then. And Hakanami, Behudamar Katana Kama, and he holds like the Tana Kama. So you can see clearly the Gemara's questions are not real questions. They're just pushing us into a position where we're going to have to explain Rav this way. And now you're going to see that the Gemara is going to say the same thing for Rabbi Yochanan, knowing that they didn't even ask the question of Rabbi Yochanan, but they're going to explain the mission. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say Kula Biyad. He's going to say that the whole case here, everything we're talking about, it has to be a Yad that we're talking about here. Behudamar Katana Kama. And he holds like the Tana Kamo, because it is mitzareif. So he holds that it's a yad, and it is mitzareif. Now why can't he say that it's talking about a shomer over here? Because the problem with saying that it's talking about a shomer, Rabbi Yochanan holds that by a shomer, a kol shoe is good enough. So Rabbi Yochanan would also hold that by a shomer, it would be mitzareif. So he could explain it as a shomer, and then also hold like the Tana Kama is the case of shomer. Rashi suggests over here that he didn't set it up this way, because otherwise, the Tana Kama should not have used the example of a chatzik kazayit. Koshu, right. He should have four or five bones with a koshu on them. The case would have been much more of a chiddush, much more of an explanation of Rabbi Yochanan's position, if he used multiple bones with mashahu of basar on them and they all mitzarev to a kezayit. In fact, doesn't say that, already indicates to you that the chatzi kezayit over here is the shiur. And the fact that the chatzi kezayit is a shiur means that we're talking about a yad and not talking about a shomer. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan, we're explaining according to a yad, even though shomer would work here. Technically, you could explain Rabbi Yochanan by a shomer, but because we could have said a bigger chiddush in Rabbi Yochanan had you explained it with shomer, because you don't need a chatzi kezayit anymore, you could be talking about even a kol shehu. Therefore, we don't set up this Tosefta with a shomer.
Tosafot, on the other hand, believes that you could set up Rabbi Yochanan either with a yad or a shomer, and he'd be holding like the Tanakama, not like Rashi. How does he deal with the issue of the fact that we're talking about a chatzi kezayit? He says that's the Hodiacha Kochol de Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa. That's to teach you, even Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa, even at a chatzi kezayit, doesn't think that it is a shomer, or doesn't think that it's a yad. But ain't Ochanami that Rabbi Yochanan could set up either as a yad or as a shomer, and would be a libid the Tanakama. And yes, it's true that if it was less than a chatzi kezayit, even less than a pole, it would be enough to be a shomer. But we're not focused on that chiddush in the Tanakama, but rather on the fact that Yehuda ben Nekusa, even in that instance, says that it would not work.
So Tashma, now we have another Tosefta in Uksin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kuliat, we're talking about the femur here, Sheyesh Aleha Kezayit Basar, that has a Kezayit Basar on it, Goreret Kula Lutuma. This Kuliot is functioning somehow to convey or to bring Tuma to this Kezayit Basar. Acherim Omrim, Afilu Ein Alela Kupul, Goreret Kula Lutuma. You don't need a kezayit basar, you can even have the size of a bean on it. So, here we have a machloket about whether there's a kezayit or a pool, in order for this bone to function in some way. Gemara is going to do the same thing. And again, and say, v'rav, hai b'may mukimba. How does Rav explain this Tosefta? Ibiyad, if he says that we're talking about yad, kasha seifa. Then the position of Rabbi Meir, the acherim, is problematic. Because if you're talking about a yad, Rav says the minimum amount of basar you need for a yad is a kezayit. Rabbi Meir, Acherim Omrim, that even if there's a pool basar on there, that this can function as a yad. Ibish Shomer, if he explains the Tosefta, as we're talking about a Shomer, that it's talking about a bone with the marrow inside, we're talking about a kulio, the femur with the marrow inside, Kasha Resha. Then the Resha is problematic, because for Rav, a Shomer can function even down to the level of a bean. Over here, where you have more than a bean's worth of marrow, because you're talking about the kulio, it's a large bone, and he won't be able to agree with the Tanakama, who says that it's a yad only when you have a kezayit. So So now again, they answer. Again, the questions are not strong questions. They're just trying to force us into a corner to explain Rav. So talking about a case of yad, and it's Rabbi Yehuda. Yad being that the femur now is acting as a yad, as the carrying vehicle for this basar on the end, it's a kezayit. And he holds like the Tanakama. Tanakama is saying that a yad is only good with a kezayit basar in it, not when you have a pull. V'ibayitema b'shomer, he's talking about a shomer, u'ke'acherim, and he's holding like Rabbi Meir, because by shomer, Rav says that a pull is enough to be a shomer, so we're talking about the marrow inside of the bone. Rabbi Yochanan amar, kula b'shomer. We're talking about a shomer here. V'huda amar ke'acherim, and he holds like the acherim, because he thinks that by a shomer, there is no minimum standard. The Gemara says, wait a minute, acherim, if the acherim did give a minimum standard by the shomer, they said kepul. We just saw in Rabbi Yochanan that when it came to a shomer, there was no minimum standard. There's no minimum standard, then what are they saying over here? A pull. Could be even less than a pull. Ha kapul kamrei. So he says, no. I did the kamar Tanakama shi'uro. So because the Tanakama gave a defined shi'ur, kamreinu nami shi'ura. They just reflected the Tanakama and said a pull. Truthfully, it could be even a koshu. But the Tanakama said kazayir. They said, you're so far off. It's not even a kazayir. Shomer works even at a pull level. Even less than a pull. But we're saying a pull because we're just so far away from your shot. So, Amarava Dekanami, Dibishomer Askinan. It's clear that this Tosefta is talking about a Shomer, Detane Kuliat. Because it picked the Kuliat bone. The fact that it picked the femur and not another bone is indicative that we're talking about a Shomer over here. Because, had it picked another bone, and that's a Macher, not acting as a shomer. And as Rashi says, stam kuliat shomer hi. Said a stam kuliat is a shomer because it has marrow inside of it. As opposed to other bones, where you're not certain that there is marrow inside of them, there might not have been marrow inside of them, the stam kuliyot is a shomer because stam kuliyot has moach in it, it has marrow in it. So it's clear that the fact that the tosefta picked a kuliyot bone is to indicate that we're talking about a shomer. Otherwise, you should have picked any other bone. Talking about the basar that's on the bone, talking about the flesh on the bone, that could be any bone in the body. The fact that it picked kuliyot means that it's definitely looking for it to be a shomer, be the marrow. Well, Rava's diuk is right, what happened to Rav before? We said Abrav as saying that the case in the Tosefta is Yad. He said, oh, Ibayitema Yad, Ibayitema Shomer. He said, Ibayitema Yad, and he holds like Rabbi Huda the Tanakama. Ibayit Shomer, and he holds like Rabbi Meir. And it's a Paul Dafko, and not like Rabbi Yochanan says, which it's a Lav Dafko. So Tosod explains, we have here a machloket between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir. Who's the halacha like when we have a machloket, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir? The halacha is like Rabbi Huda, because the Acherim is Rabbi Meir. So the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Huda, we wanted to try to set up Rav. Even though it's dochak, we'd rather set up Rav like the Rabbi Huda, at least that way it would be a libo de hilchoton. Even though according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're ending up with the Acherim, which is low a libo de hilchoton, is going to be like Rabbi Meir. Nevertheless, at least we want to get one shita that's like Rabbi Huda, which is going to be a libo de hilchoton. So even though it's a dochak, we pushed in that direction. Itmar, Rabbi Chanina Amar Zehu Shi'ur, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Inze Shi'ur. When the Achirim, Rabbi Meir said in that Tosefta, Kippur, Rabbi Chanina says that's Dafka Pul, and that's like Rav, that the minimum Shi'ur for a Shomer is a Pul. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Inze Shi'ur, it's Lav Dafka. Lav Dafka, like he said before. So Inze Shi'ur, what do you mean that's Lav Dafka? Haktani Kippur. The Tosefta literally says Pul. How can you say it's Lav Dafka? They're just reflecting. Because the Tanakhama used these statement of size, they wanted to use also a statement of size, but not literally that's the size, but anything. Pul to them is like anything. Tashma. So now we have a Mishnah from Uksin, and we're going to try again to determine what the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan or Rav. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mitaher b'shel pul. Rabbi Elazar says that it's tahor when it comes to a pul. Umitameh b'shel kitnit, or kitniot. Pul being a bean, that is tahor. Whereas by a kidneyt, when we're talking about peas or pulse, it's not clear what we're talking about over here. I mean, it's other than beans. Mipnei shirotzeh b'tashmisham. Because he wants to utilize them and use them. So now, we're talking about here what seems to be a different size. We have a pul, which is the minimum standard for Rav. And then we have a kidneyt, which is obviously smaller than a pul. So Rabbi Elazar says, when it comes to a pul, he's mitaher. Umetamei bishel kitnit. But when it comes to the size of something that's a kitnit, then he says, oh, then and for sure, those are tamei. Talking about a shomer. We're talking about the encasement of these items. The pods that hold the beans and the pods that hold the peas. That's at least according to Rashi. So Sofot talks about later on, maybe we're not talking about the pods. Assuming that we're talking about the pods over here. The pods that hold the beans or hold the peas, they are what we know as a shomer. They're protecting the beans inside, they're protecting the peas inside. Along comes Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and says, listen, when it comes to beans, beans are larger and thicker types of legumes. And because of that, they do not need the protective pod. A person is willing to handle them even without the protective pod. Therefore, the pod is not a shomer, because it's not necessary. A person doesn't need them. A person would handle and wouldn't worry about the pod being there because the pod isn't necessary for the bean. Obviously, it's the human involvement here, but the beans, it's to protect the beans. So over here, it's not protective in nature because the beans are sufficiently protected by themselves. Whereas by the peas, they are much more delicate items. And therefore, the pod is necessary in order to handle the peas or for the peas to be protected. They'd be ruined if they weren't inside the pod. Beans can survive, can be handled without the pod. That's not true of peas. So what do you see from Elazar ben Azariah? You have a shomer here. Shomer for pul, not necessary, not relevant. Shomer for peas or pulse, that is necessary. But what do you see from Elazar ben Azariah? A pul is bigger than a pea. What did Rav say? Rav says the minimum standard, minimum shiur to have a shomer is a pul. Yet Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah over here is saying that even for less than a pul, you can have a shomer. And he's saying dafka. In the pool, I don't need the cover. I don't need the shomer. I need the shomer for things that are smaller. So if that's the case, that's a real question on Rab. It's also a question on Rabbi Chanina, who argues on Rabbi Yochanan over here. Both of them who argue on Rabbi Yochanan say that there is a minimum shiur for shomer. This Mishnah in Uksin sounds like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. There is no minimum shiur for a shomer. My answer is Kedama Rav Acha Brei Derova. Like Rabbi Acha says, Bekucha. Talking about the stock. Umishum Yad. And here we're talking about a yad, a functional extension. That's what we're discussing over here. There, Rabbi Elazar said, the problem is because you're handling. You need the pods to handle them. So no, don't read it as mashmisham, them handling them, but rather to hold them, to carry them. Tashmish, meaning that you need them as a functional handle, not as the mashmisham in terms of handling them directly. So what happened over here? We're going to get back to where the actual statement of Rav Acha Brei Derova is. We're going to get to that in a minute. But what's transpiring over here is that we're shifting what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was speaking about. Originally, we thought Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was addressing the pods. The pods act as shomrim. They protect the legume, they protect the bean that's inside, they protect the pea that's inside. The way we're answering it now is that we're not talking about that. We're talking about the stalk that has multiple pods on it. It's a stalk with multiple pods. So now I'm talking about a number of items. If I'm talking about a number of items here, a number of pods, then I'm going to get over the minimum standard that I need. So now I have a single stalk that has multiple pods extending it from it. What Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying that I need a stalk to handle the peas. I don't need a stalk to handle the beans. The pods of beans that are on a stalk, I can handle each pod individually. That can be the handle. They can carry the beans around without the stalk. And then when it comes to a peas, I would take the peas. When I want to handle them, I'm going to take them with the stalk, and that's going to have the multiple pods on them. And so now we're talking about a yad, and we're not talking about a shomer anymore. Once we're not talking about a shomer, when we were talking about a shomer before, we're talking about a single pole, we're talking about a single pea. That was a problem for Rab. Once we make it into a yad, then we're dealing with multiple pods. Once we're dealing with multiple pods, it could be that you're dealing with sizes that are above the minimum standard for yad, which then is a gezeit. Now, why couldn't the Gemara just answer before that a pod has multiple peas in it, a pod has multiple beans in it? I mean, that would answer your question. The way a pea is less than a bean, but if I have multiple peas in a pod, that's more than a bean. The reason is that the ratio of that Mishnah says it's a case where the pod was emptied out except for one that's left in it. So there's one pea left in it or one bean left in it. And that's why we're forced to say that we're not talking about the pods anymore, the shomer, but rather we're talking about the stalks, which are the handles, the functional handles to carry them around. Once we do that, we alleviate the problem of it being less than a pole because we're talking about multiple peas. Multiple peas could add up to a kezayit, and that could be a yad, functioning as a yad for Rav.
What does it mean, mashmish?
Because mashmish means it sounds like that you're physically trying to handle them. Over here, when you're talking about a shomer, then physically handling them as shomer is meaningful because it protects the item that you're handling. When you're talking about a yad, you're not in physical contact with the item. The idea of a yad is that it's an extension away from the item. So what do you mean, handle them? You're not handling them directly. So they changed the word from mashmisham to be physical contact with the actual pea or bean to tashmisham, that it's functional. I mean that you need the stem as a functional handle, so that's why they switched from mashmisham to tashmisham. Alright, so now we have this before, tashma, the tana de Rabbi Shmuel. So what do we learn from that? That's how we learned about the din of Shomer. The din of Shomer is the way that people take out zraim, seeds, to plant them. How do they take them out? Chita biklipata. Take out a weed in its husk. Se'ora biklipata. You take out a barley seed in its husk. Vadashim biklipata. And you take out lentils in their husks. So that's how we know about a Shomer. Guess what? Talking about a chita, se'ora, and lentils, they're all smaller than a pole. They're all smaller than a pole. This is a problem for Rav. Rav said before that you need a minimum standard of a pole to be something a shomer. Over here, you're less than a pole, and we're calling them shomrim. What's the answer? Birya shiny. You're talking about a whole item, then we have to say that it's different. Here you're talking about an entire kernel of wheat, an entire kernel of barley, and a whole lentil. In that case, it functions as a shomer. Even Rav will agree that less than a pull, a shomer can be relevant. Whereas when it comes to like basar, when you have half a pull, that's not going to be significant enough in terms of a shomer, because that's not a whole item. You're dealing with a whole entity, the Shomer is significant even less than a pull. Once you've given that answer, you could have answered that for the Mishnah Nuksin. Rashi says at the end here, it's the last line of Rashi, El Nami Gabi Shavati, much the Tutsi, Briri Yoshaini. Could have answered that way as well for Rav. I think Rashi says it later on, that that is a answer that is a dechika. It's not the best answer. Rashi says that that's a difficult answer. Later on, Rashi will say, we're going to come to another Gemara where they could have answered this way, Briri Yoshaini, and the Gemara doesn't use that answer. The fact that the Gemara doesn't use that answer, Rashi says, Briri Yoshaini is a bad answer. It's not such a strong answer. Yeah, generally we hold that Birya is shiny. Rashi later on says it's not such a strong answer. Over here he says you could have answered that for the Braita before as well. Alright, by Rav Hoshea. Rav Hoshea has a question. Shnei Shomrim Mahoshit Starfu. If I have two Shomrim, what's the din in terms of Tziruf? Can they add together? If I have to add up to a Kabetza, I need to add up to some sort of minimum Shiur. Does the Shomer, two multiple Shomrim work over here? Hey, Chidan, what's the case? If you're talking about a encasement, it's encapsulated inside another shell or encasement. There's no such thing as a Shomer al Gav Shomer. That's not. We have a Mishnah Nuksin, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shlosh Kipot B'Batzal. If you're talking about an onion, there are three different layers of the onion. Pnimit, when you're talking about the inner layer, we're talking about the white skin that is on the onion. Ben Shleima ben Kedura Mitzdarefet. Whether it is whole, or it has holes in it, has breaks in it, it's Mitzdaref because it's Nechal. It's eaten. That outer layer is edible. So it's not functioning as a Shomer. It's Ochel. Emtzait, the middle casement, or shell of the onion, that is Shleima Mitzdarefet. If it's whole, then it's Mitzdaref because then it's functioning like a Shomer. Kedura, if it has a hole in it, ain't Mitzdarefet because it's not functioning as a Shomer. It's not edible. But it's also not functioning as a shomer, because it has a hole in it, then it's not protecting the onion inside. Chidzona, the outer layer, ben kach teora. It doesn't matter, it's always tahor, because it's a shomer, a gabi shomer. It's sitting on top of the middle layer, which is already the shomer for the onion, you don't need the outer layer. So you see from this, that when you have a layer on top of a layer, the outer layer is meaningless. Alright, so now, the Gemara says, Rabosha shomer, ochel shechulku, kama baile. Rosh is asking about a case of a shomer that was broken in half. That you have a shomer, and then it's broken. Rashi gives two examples of it. Kegon ochel kebeitza, have a kebeitza b'shomro alav, and has a shomer on it, v'chilko. And then you divide it in half. Oh, kegon shnei bitzalim ktanim. You have this many times, you have a twin onion. Inside of a klipa, if you pick onions, you'll know that there's an outer shell. The outer shell can be covering two onions on the inside, like twins. She'ein b'shenayim elika beitza. Together, they add up to a beitza, the two onions. But now I broke them apart with their shomerim, I break them apart. Are they mitzdareif, or are they not mitzdareif? Once you break them, does the shomer still have a status of shomer? And that's it. Kevan dahai lo magin ahai, v'hai lo magin ahai, lo mitzdareifet. Since each now item has its own shomer, and they sit independently, they're not mitzareif. Odoma came into high magina di day, high magina di day mitzarefin. Each one protects the other one, then they can be mitzareif together to create a single entity. So that's the question here. Once I break the shomer away from being a single shomer, and I make it into two individual shomrim, can those shomrim then be mitzareif together to create the kabetza that I need? Can they then become a single entity? Or is the shomer only relevant to the item that it protects? Is it only relevant to item protects, or can it be relevant when I have two items together with their shomrim? Can they be each one relevant? Does it become now like that's an entity, and I can put the two entities together? The shomer is now batel to that item, and when I put them together, I can get to a kabetza. That's the question. As Tosfos points out over here, that lo shechulku the gamrei. Here it's not when they totally are separated. If they're totally separated, there's no reason to be mitzareif. And why should two onions be mitzareif just if they're separate items? You need a kabetza of ochel. So that's the bit that they're still attached in some place, that they're still attached. But each shomer is functioning independently. Now, the question of that, like what Zvi, you just articulated well, which is, again, that do we say that it's now each shomer and the item are a single entity now, and that could be mitzdarif them, or, like you're saying, there's a food item and shomer, a food item and a shomer, and the two shomerim are not relevant to each other. So that's the question that is being posed by Rav Hoshea. Now the Gemara says, okay, Tashma, let's bring that Mishnah that we had from Uksin before. Rav Lozim Razari Matar B'Shel Pulu Matamei B'Shel Kitniot. Knei Shirotze Bit Mashmisham. Samar Avacha Breda Rava B'Kolcha U Mishum Yad. We're talking about there that it's talking about the stalk, not the pods. Umay b'mashmisham, and not, what am I talking about, handling? I'm talking about b'tashmisham. So the Gemara's original statement is, I have a shomer here. I should have a shomer that is functioning for multiple items. You have multiple pots that are together. Each one has a single pea inside of it. And I'm putting them together. So I put them together, and I say, oh, now I have a kibetza. That's avo. That's not the way we learned the Mishnah before. Mishnah sounds like it's talking about a shomer. And I'm talking about multiple pods together, each one with a single pea in it. And I'm saying, though, they could be mitzvahed together to make up a kibetza. So it sounds like from that, that the multiple pods can be added together, even though each pod is working or functioning only for that pea. I'm talking about a shomer. It looks like they can be mitzvahed. Rav Acha, Brei the Rabba, comes along and says, we're not talking about a shomer here. We're talking about a yad. Ah, once you're talking about a yad, then we have no proof from that Mishnah, because a yad, and it's not a shomer. A shomer is a proof from that Mishnah. A yad is not a proof from that Mishnah. The Havamin of the Gemara over here. Just if you look at Rashi. Talking about here, multiple pods that are being mitzaref. It's a Havamin. The Gemara is saying, okay, let's look at Rav Elazar ben Azariah. We know we're talking about pods that are somewhat emptied. Well, how do you get to Kabetza? Oh, Kabetza must be that we have multiple pods over here. And we're saying that it's functioning like a shomer with multiple pods. So that's a Havamina in the Gemara. The Gemara rejects it. It's a Pashtut Mishnah. It's not that way. A Pashtut Mishnah is talking about a single pod. But, leaving that aside, the Gemara is trying to prove from here and say, oh, look, oh, maybe we're talking about multiple pods over here. The Gemara says, we're not even talking about shomer here. We're talking about a yad. Once you're talking about a yad, it's not relevant to our case anymore. And that's the original Rav Acha Brei de Rava. Rav Acha Brei de Rava explains this Mishnah as being with a yad and not with a shomer. And that's what we brought before. And we're talking about a yad and not a shomer. We're talking about the stem and not the pods. All right, so now the Gemara says, next proof, Tashma, from the Tana Debei Rishmo that we just saw, Kozer Zeru Asher Yitzareya, Kederach Shemnei Adam Motzim Lizriya, Chita B'Klipata, Sarah B'Klipata, Dashim B'Klipatam. So again, over there, you know that you've, in order to get to the minimum standard of a Tumat Ochel, you're going to need a Kabetza. So when we're talking about a single kernel, that's not a Kabetza for Tumat Ochel. So Kedama Ravacha Brei D'Riacha B'Kuchel. B'shum yad, just like Rav Acha Barei de Rova explained the Mishnah in Uksin is talking about a yad, and it's talking about the stem holding multiple pods. Hakanami b'shidra. Over here we're talking about the ear of wheat, the ear of barley, where we're talking about that you're talking about multiple kernels of barley, multiple kernels of wheat. Umishum shomer. And we're talking about a case of shomer. So now we answered your problem, because what we thought until now was that a shomer, can a shomer be mitzdareif with multiple shomrim? So the Gemara's answer is, oh, look at Tanit Beir Shmot. Everybody else says that we're talking about chita b'klipata. We're talking about a kernel of wheat b'klipata. Well, a kernel of wheat b'klipata, that we would have to assume you have to get a kabet, so you need multiple kernels. So I have multiple kernels, each kernel in its own shomer, its own husk, and I'm saying they're mitzdareif. What could have been Gemara answered over here? Beer Yashani, you don't need the minimum standard of a kibetz, and we're talking about a single kernel. Rashi says, why didn't the Gemara answer this way? That's a dochak answer. So this is where Rashi says it's a dochak answer, as I mentioned before, that's why the Gemara didn't answer. If you look in the Shita Mekubetzet, the Shita Mekubetzet says about Rashi over here, he says that the Ktav Yad do not have Elotirutsu Dechikahu in it. It's erased. There's a line across it. If Rashi says it's Terutsu Dechika, it's a problematic answer here and a problematic number four. If you erase that line, then all Rashi is saying is, Hachanami Masle Ture, it's a Birir Shiny. You could have answered Birir Shiny, but I have another answer. And that would work, similar to what Rashi said before, and that way the Shita Mekubetz is learning is similar to what you're suggesting. What does the Gemara answer? The Gemara is saying, we're not talking about single kernels, we're talking about the ear of wheat. When I'm talking about the ear of the wheat, I'm not talking about the husks. As the protective encasement, what am I talking about? The ear is made up of two things. The ear of wheat is made up of the rachis, or the stem, and then on top of it has an on, or the beard. So what happens is that the wheat kernels sit in rows in the ear, from top to bottom. They sit in multiple columns. Multiple columns on the ear of the wheat. They are hooked into the stem, and then they're covered by the beard or the on. So that's what we're talking about here. When we talk about chita b'klipata, we're talking about the whole ear of wheat, and in that there's a kabetza because all of those wheat kernels are protected together in this stem, in this rachis. Right. I don't know. That's how they take it out, to keep it protected. I don't know. I really don't know how to answer that. Yeah, the Gemara is going to come to a different answer, but your question is a valid question here, which is, people don't take this out, plant. Right, so now Gemara says, Bishlama ilito. When I'm talking about a column of wheat kernels, the upper ones, Sricha de Tita, they need the bottom ones. Because if the bottom kernel in a column, if you pulled out the bottom kernel, they'd all fall out. Meaning that they're supported on top of each other. If you pull the bottom of the column, it's like, you know, the gum machines. When you put the bottom one out, everyone drops. So the same thing here. If you pull the bottom one, everything's going to drop. When you're talking about the bottom kernels, why do they need the top kernels? The top kernels come out, the bottom ones aren't going to fall out because they're still supported in the ear. So, b'chadara. And we're talking about a single row. Not a column, but a single row round. So now when we're talking about a single row around, umiyka kabeitza, ochlim b'chadara, can you have a kabeitza in one row around? So now they all need each other to hold it together. The idea being that a column, the bottom ones hold the top ones, but also in a single row around the ear, if one of them pops out, it breaks the integrity of the cover, and they'll all fall out on that single row around the ear. The Gemara says, well, okay, great, you're talking about one row, but can you get a kabeitza worth of kernels in a single row? The answer is no. The Gemara says, no, b'chita de shimma ben shetach. Gemara in Tanit talks about these chitim of shimma shetach, which are very large, and you could get a kabeitza in a single row around. A shomer, we saw from the Mishnah Luchsim, functions in three, does three different things. It accepts tumah, conveys tumah, and it adds to the kabeitza. So the kabeitza is the shear that we're looking for here. So Ashra, the Ati, the Hochi, if you're going to answer Anna that we're talking about the chitim of shimma shetach, then chad chita nami, b'chita de shimma shetach. You could talk about a single kernel, and a single kernel is the size of kabeitza, talking about the wheat of shimma shetach, which is this very large wheat, and the kernels are the size of a kabeitza. So Gemara says, Gufa, we're going back to the Shnei Atzamot case that we started the daf with. Shnei Atzamot, v'aleim Shnei Chatzei Kzeitim, v'yichnis v'shem, Shnaim l'bayit, v'abayit mahil aleim, abayit tamei, Yehuda ben Nekusa Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, heich Shnei Atzamot mitzterfim l'kzeit. This is the exact sosefta that we brought before about the fact that the bones function as handles or as shomrim, and they somehow bring the tumah into tumah toel. So Amarei Shalvish Loshan, u'ela etzem, da'avi yad. We're not talking about Tosef is literally, it's only talking about a bone, because a bone can function as a yad. Of a name, alo aviyad. When it comes to a hair cannot be a yad. A hair doesn't function as a yad, because when you pull on a hair, it's going to fall out. It's not strong enough. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, filu name aviyad. Even a single hair can be a yad. So, eitve, Rabbi Yochanan Rishakish, or sheesh alav kazayit basar, I have skin, which, a hide, that has a kazayit basar on it. Hanogea bitziv. Someone who touches the bristles that are coming out of this hide, ubsara shekinegdo, or a hair that is opposite it, tamei. They are tamei. My la mishum yad. Sounds like the reason you're tamei is because of yad, and yad can convey tuma. So the fact that you have hair here being a yad, that's a proof to Rabbi Yochanan. Lo, mishum shomer. The hair is actually functioning as a shomer, not a yad. Umish ika shomer agabe shomer. How can you have a shomer agabe shomer? What do we say here? It was a case of a hide with basar on it, with flesh on it. Well, the hide is the shomer. Why do you need the hair to be the shomer? That's a shomer on top of a shomer. Where it says achalchulim echalchel. The hair penetrates all the way through the skin. If you take the hair out, there'll be a hole in the skin, and then the skin won't be a shomer anymore. So the reason that you need the hair here is because it's also, together with the skin, functioning as a shomer. It plugs the hole that the hair follicle is in. Tumati Ravacha Bar Yaakov, that really true? That all hides, the hair penetrates all the way through, and it leaves a hole. If you took the hair out, it would leave a hole. Elmiata, tefillin heichi katvinan. How do we ever write tefillin? You take out a cloth to write the tefillin on, you pull out the hair, you take off the hair, and now you have all these holes in the cloth. How do you write the tefillin? Vabina ktiva tama. You have to have a ktiva tama where there's no gapping in the writing. Veleka, that you don't have because you have holes in this. Shtemite adam rei b'omarova. They forgot what it said in Eretz Yisrael. Kol nekev shadayo over alav inu nekev. Any hole where the ink can fill the hole when it goes over it, that's not considered to be a nekev. Now this is a din in yad. We're talking about here bristles amongst the bristles. We're not talking about a single hair follicle. We're not talking about a single bristle. We're talking about multiple hairs or multiple bristles. We're not talking about a single follicle of hair. And you're trying to lift it up as a yad. There are multiple hair here, and that you could use as a yad. So that even Rish Lakish would agree that can function as a yad. Ve'echa itmar de Rabbi Yilo. Here we just quoted Rabbi Yilo. Where's the original of Rabbi Yilo? Aha. Malai shibishi balim. The hair, the beard, the on that's in the ears. Mitamim umitamim. They become tamei and they convey tuma. Ve'na mitzterfim. And they're not mitzterfim, which means that they are a yad. Malamai lamai chazi. The on, the beard of the ear. What does it function as? I'm Rabbi Yilo. Malai shibin amalayim. We're not talking about a single bristle. We're talking about multiple bristles together. and therefore they can function as a yad. Another way to say this is Amri lo hochinami mistavra de mishum shomer, that we're talking about a shomer here. Tisakadaka mishum yad. If you're talking about a yad, name achat amai chazi. Then what is a name achat? What is a single hair useful for? So unless we were talking about a shomer like Rish Lakish says, Kadam Rabbi lo abi milai shben amlaim. How can I be a name shben animim? The answer being, again, we're not talking about a single hair follicle, we're talking about multiple hairs, and therefore we don't have to be talking about a shomer, we could be talking about a yad. Where is the original statement of Rabbi Loi? Ahad etnan and the Mishnah amalai shibolim. Talk about the bristle on the ear of the grains. Mitamim etamim veimitzarfim means their function as a yad. Malai the maichazi, again, what bristle, what is it value for? Amar Loi b'malai shibin amlayim. We're not talking about a single bristle, we're talking about a number of bristles, multiple bristles, so together they can function as a yad. Alright, we'll stop over here and then we'll continue with machloket of Rabbi Yochanan and Mishlakish tomorrow.